Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. Last month marked the commemoration of the 99th anniversary of the signing of the Lausanne Treaty, a treaty that is at the heart of Greek-Turkish relations, whether we're talking about sovereignty in the Aegean Sea or the rights of minorities in each country. In its efforts to revise the status quo in the region, Turkey has made attempts to reinterpret Lausanne as it sees fit. For example, Ankara has referred to this treaty in an effort to cast a shadow over the sovereignty of Greek islands in the Aegean, and is also attempting to make an issue with Greece over the rights of the Muslim minority in Thrace. Simeon Tigos, who has extensive experience working in Thrace with the Greek Foreign Ministry, joins me to break down why Ankara's accusations regarding the Muslim minority in Thrace are unsubstantiated and an attempt to reverse reality. Simeon Tigos is the newly appointed Consul General of Greece in Boston, and for the last 3 years served as Director of Political Affairs at the Office of the Foreign Ministry in Thrace. Consul General Tigos, welcome to The Greek Current. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Thanos. Great to be with you today.
Consul General, why is the Treaty of Lausanne, which is almost 100 years old, so crucial to understanding Greek-Turkish relations?
The Treaty of Lausanne is definitely the most important treaty for our region. It was signed almost 99 years ago and basically defined not only our borders with Turkey, but all the aspects of the final settlement after the First World War and the Asia Minor catastrophe. It claimed the issue at hand, namely the Muslim minority in Thrace and the Greek minority in Turkey. You see, part of this settlement was the compulsory exchange of population. Just to clarify here that the agreement for the exchange of population was signed a few months earlier of the Lausanne Treaty, I mean in January of 1923, was added to the main treaty. Practically, when the Lausanne Treaty was signed, much of the exchange had already taken place and the treaty was to reflect the situation on the ground. So, although we have only one pending legal issue with Turkey, which is a delimitation of continental self. On many occasions, Turkish officials are talking about finding a solution to all the issues they invented along the way, and lately, apparently, they keep on adding to the list. But that actually happened 100 years ago, and it's called the Lausanne Treaty, and it clarified everything. Turkey was fine with it many decades, until 1973, when all of a sudden they decided they don't like it, and they want to revisit certain aspects of it. Now, regarding the issue at hand, I believe it's important to remember what was agreed in Lausanne. There will be an exchange of population. 1.6 million Greeks, approximately, will have to abandon Anatolia, their homes, and some 400,000 Muslims will have to go to the opposite direction. There was an exception. The Muslims in Thrace, around 120,000, and the Greek of Constantinople, Imbros and Tenedos, that they will remain where they were with minority status. So, this is why the Lausanne Treaty is paramount for the Greek-Turkish relations. This is the birth certificate of the Republic of Turkey as a successor state of the Ottoman Empire. And it clearly stipulates in our case that the minorities are Muslim minority. Nowhere in the text you can find something else.
Last month, on the anniversary of the signing of the Lausanne Treaty, Turkish President Erdogan accused Athens of undermining the rights of the Muslim minority in Thrace. Why are these accusations unsubstantiated, as the Greek Foreign Ministry put it in its response?
Fano, those accusations are simply not true, and there are many reasons to call those unsubstantiated. I will give just a few, but let me clarify here. There is no Turkish minority in Thrace. You have a Muslim minority, as it was agreed in Lausanne, which has three components. You have the Pomaks, around 35%, you have the Roma, 18%, and the rest is of Turkish origin. Greece does not obstruct in any way the individual rights of anyone to self-determination. You can call yourself what you want, but you cannot impose your views to the rest of the minority constituent parts collectively. This is a fully protected minority under the provisions of the Lausanne Treaty, under the Greek Constitution. Those are Greek citizens we're talking about. No undermining right of any kind. In Thrace, we have around 300, and this is a conservative estimate, operating mosques. The highest ratio of mosques per Muslim citizen in Europe. One of the highest among Muslim states worldwide. You have three Muslim MPs in the Greek parliament, three Muslim mayors, hundreds of representatives sitting in regional and municipality organs. You have a minority political party that participated in the EU parliamentary elections. You have almost 100 minority schools. You have positive discrimination quotas in the public sector and the Greek university. You have peaceful coexistence and social coherence. And you have all these additional guarantees. Recently, a new law for the modernization of the Muftiates was passed. Right now, that we're talking, Nizubuli, a small minority village of 150 people, a new mosque is being built that can host like 500 people. So, no undermining of rights whatsoever.
You've worked extensively in this region, Consul General, where you led the Greek Foreign Ministry's Minority Affairs presence in Thrace. What's the reality like here on the ground?
Yes, Thanos. For 3 years, I was the head of the political affairs office in the Greek MFA. We have offices in Xanthi, Komotini, Alexandroupoli. And indeed, we were constantly on the move in the field most of the time. It was a terrible and interesting time for Thrace. Lots have happened, not only on the minority issue, but also at the political level. Maybe we'll come back to that. But in the meanwhile, you have to remember, Thrace is not a unified terrain. For example, the situation in the mountain of Xanthi is different than in the fields of Xanthi. What is happening in the south Evros right now is completely different than what's going on in the north Evros. But I can assure you that the general overview is very positive. And it's calm and peaceful. Christians and Muslims coexist with no problem whatsoever. And if it wasn't for the constant effort of Turkey to somehow use the minority to score politically, things would have been even greater. Even when we were experiencing the worst of the Turkish rhetoric the previous months, the situation remained calm in Thrace, because there are no reasons for the minority to react, no matter what anyone is saying. So if you want my personal experience of minority, what the minority wants is what we all want. Better education for children, better jobs, more development for the region, better quality of life. They don't care much for the Turkish game. They don't buy it. This is a Muslim minority with not even one jihadist, when ISIS was really appealing to the Muslim world and powerful. Of course, there are some divisive voices that are always looking for the opportunity to strike, to divide. And our system permits that because this is what Greece is. A European, democratic, rule of law country that belongs to the space of freedom that I think we all have to protect. The silent majority of the minority has made its choice. And lately, it's even more evident than the education sector, for example, that they're clearly choosing to send their children to the public schools.
As Erdogan, you know, comes up with these accusations against Greece over minority rights, this has put a spotlight on the plight of the dwindling Greek minority in Turkey, which is also protected, as you mentioned, under the Treaty of Lausanne, but unfortunately today doesn't exceed 3,000 people. Is Erdogan attempting to reverse reality when it comes to this issue here?
Look, there has been a systematic Turkish effort to reverse reality the last couple of years. Against international law, Lausanne Treaty, I would say common sense. Again and again, Turkish leadership was against my country, against all basic international rules that established after so many wars, so much pain. It's like we're back in the 19th century, but we're in the 21st. And in Thrace, I can tell you they failed because exactly they go against the reality on the ground. No matter how you describe and distort the situation, the reality is always there. One of the many reasons that our minority policy was successful is because exactly it was based on the simple assumption that you cannot change realities on the ground. And numbers can sometimes be crushing. You have 130,000 Muslims living peacefully in Greece, in Thrace, enjoying all their rights and their potential. And you have less than 3,000 old people, mostly, of our incredible Greek minority in Turkey that remained in Constantinopolis, in Prosentenos. There is no reciprocity in human rights, Thanos. But Ankara should definitely take a better look and explain why this Greek minority has been nearly wiped out.
Before making suggestions to anyone, Athens had called, as you just did, on Turkey to consider how it's abiding by the Lausanne Treaty and to reflect on these reasons that the once thriving Greek minority in Turkey has been almost wiped out. How can this kind of honest self-criticism, you know, not only help improve conditions for the minority living in Turkey, but also Greek-Turkish relations overall?
I guess it's always helpful and painful sometimes for countries to resort to self-criticism for what happened in the past. And I can tell you, Greece on the minority issue, it definitely did that, although, of course, you cannot compare minor administrative measures with persecution or what happened in the other side of the Aegean. But that was clear after 1991 and the adoption of, we call it isonomia and isopolitia, let's say, equality policy by Konstantinos Mitsotakis back then, which created the circumstances and marked the field, I would say, leading to our situation today and a thriving Muslim minority. In general, transparency and sincere approach by Turkey would definitely benefit our relationship. As long as Turkey accepts international law, stop the escalating nationalistic rhetoric, revisionism, reversing reality, which never helped in the long term, I guess. If all this stops, there is, of course, room for many things.
Erdogan's comments recently on the Muslim minority in Thrace follow recent statements from Ankara attempting to reinterpret the Lausanne Treaty as to the question of sovereignty of Greek islands in the Aegean. Why should Turkey's attempts here to revise this crucial treaty that's almost 100 years old alarm countries, you know, beyond Greece?
No matter where from this Turkish revisionist spirit emanates, it is crucial for everyone to realize, and it seems like all our allies and friends, they do realize, that this path, especially in today's conjecture, is a very dangerous and irrational path to take. Turkey evidently is trying cherry picking international law according to whatever it is convenient for its interests. And we all know what that can do in today's world. Now, distorting the truth, refashioning geography, reinterpreting international law according to whatever is your take of this world can be really dangerous. Just to remind you here that according to the international law, it is that defined borders are not to be changed no matter what. And it's against common sense, a treaty to be completely clear throughout time for one party and with time to develop, let's say, great spots for the other party. This is not possible. And just as race is finally being rediscovered, I could say that, especially on the international level, because we've seen so many foreign ambassadors and dignitaries to visit Thrace and especially Alexandroupolis in the last couple of years. So it is crucial to remember where this kind of approach can lead and why it is important to safeguard Lausanne Treaty and knowledge provision and international law in general, as it stands. Now, allow me in a more personal note to tell you that Thrace is a region with incredible capacity and possibility and with amazing people. And it has a real bright future inside this context.
Consul General Tigos, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current. It was great speaking with you, and good luck in your new posting in Boston.
Thank you so much. We're super excited to be here.
In other news, the most restrained scenario of those foreseen by Athens regarding the exploratory activity of Turkey's new drilling ship was announced by President Erdogan. Erdogan announced the deployment of the ship in an area 29 nautical miles from Gazipasa, essentially on the boundary of the Gulf of Antalya within the Turkish continental shelf. The selected area was seen to signify, despite the show put on in Mersin on Tuesday and the rhetorical excesses, a desire for a period of calm in the eastern Mediterranean. It is believed in Athens that Erdogan's stance has been influenced by the intensive diplomatic behind-the-scenes initiatives during the previous period, as well as Erdogan's internal calculations. Finally, the EU's budget watchdog announced Wednesday that it is winding up years of surveillance of Greek government spending. The move marks a formal end to a major crisis that threatened to see Greece ejected from the Euro single currency group. It posed severe hardship on its citizens and roiled global financial markets. The European Commission said it will end its enhanced surveillance program on August 20th, noting that Greece has delivered on the bulk of the policy commitments made to its partners. With this development, along with the premature repayment of IMF loans and the lifting of capital restrictions, a difficult chapter of our nation ends after 12 years, Finance Minister Christos Staikoura said. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.